Please join me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many times have you heard people divide the world into two kinds of people? There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who think there are two kinds of people in the world, and those who don't. But some of the sayings are good ones. Mark Twain wrote, "There are two types of people, people who accomplish things, and people who claim to have accomplished things. The first group is less crowded." Abigail Van Buren wrote, "There are two kinds of people in the world, those who walk into a room and say, 'There you are,' and those who say, 'Here I am.'" Joy Mills says there are two kinds of people in the world, the givers and the takers. The difference between the two is that the takers eat well and the givers sleep well at night. And Albert Einstein said there are two kinds of people, those who live as if nothing is a miracle and those who live as if everything is a miracle. This morning, Maurice read a parable from Matthew with two different kinds of plants that represent two kinds of people. In the parable of the weeds and the wheat, the farmer plants a seed, a field, only to find weeds growing among the wheat. Last week, we read the parable of the sower, where the seeds that were sown represented the word of God, which is planted in human hearts. But in today's parable, the seeds represent two kinds of people, those who grow into wheat that bears grain, and those who grow into weeds that yield nothing of value. Now, as I said last week, a parable is a story using everyday things to teach a religious truth. In this story, the everyday things are wheat and weeds. And the particular weed in question is called darnel, or darnel, I don't know how to pronounce it, a kind of grass that in its early stages looks like wheat. And it seems that this kind of thing must have been happening, that people would purposely sow darnel in someone else's wheat field as an act of sabotage to harm their enemies, because there was actually a Roman law against it. The problem with darnel is that when it first starts to grow, it looks just like wheat. So you can't tell which is a weed and which will turn into a good grain. But you don't want to get them mixed up, because the darnel carries a toxic fungus that can sicken or even kill those who eat it. Still, the root system of this weed spreads deep and wide. So by the time you can tell the difference between the two, the roots are entwined with the roots of the wheat. So if you pull up the wheat would be damaged as well. So what was a farmer to do? In the parable, the workers noticed that some seeds were growing into weeds and asked the farmer, "Do you want us to pull them out for you?" And the farmer answered, "No, because when you pull out the weeds, you might also hurt the good plant. So let them grow together, and when it's harvest time, we'll collect the weeds and burn them, but the wheat will gather into my barn." This kind of story would make sense to Jesus' listeners. Yes, an enemy might sow weeds in a wheat field. And of course, then you would have to wait until harvest time to separate the weeds from the wheat. And yes, you would burn the weeds so they wouldn't create more harm. The thing that might not make sense to Jesus' listeners, the thing that might be shocking to them, would be the religious application. Because every good religious person back then, knew that you were supposed to weed out bad people and stay away from them. What was Jesus saying here? What did he mean when he said, "Let them both grow together"? And is it really true that you can't tell who's bad and who's good? Does that mean that people who look good on the outside may turn out to be bad? Well, yes, it does. Sometimes the people we believe to be honorable and trustworthy turn out to be immoral and corrupt. I think of pastors, priests, and other trusted authority figures who are guilty of pilfering money or sexual abuse. And sometimes we're wrong about the people we believe to be bad. How many people today are still being convicted of crimes they didn't commit? And how many of you have judged someone and later realized you were wrong? We may think we know what's right, but we can only see part of the picture, and we're biased by our selfish interests. You can't always tell what a person is like deep down. Now in the parable, the problem is not that an enemy secretly sows the seeds among the good, and it's also not really about mistaking the good for the bad, although that may be part of it. In the parable, the workers knew which plants were the weeds. The real danger came from workers who wanted to help the farmer. They may have meant well, but if they had pulled out the weeds as they thought best, they would have destroyed the entire harvest. It's not God's enemies that are the real problem. It's God's so-called friends, who think that they're doing good, but who make things worse by trying to fix them. We do make things worse by trying to fix them. It's not just in making mistakes in judgment or condemning people who are innocent, although that happens, and I'm sad to say, especially among Christians. But even if the evil is clear, pulling out weeds does something to us. When we try to root out evil, we risk becoming evil ourselves. Anyone who executes a murderer becomes a murderer. If we fight against prejudice and intolerance, even when the fight is justified, we risk becoming self-righteous and intolerant in the process. Look what happened to our nation as we fight against terrorism. We all agree that terrorism is evil. Yet we have resorted to torture and killed countless numbers of innocent men, women, and children in fighting against it. And we have expended enormous amounts of energy and resources only to produce more new terrorists who keep up the fight. But now we have less energy and fewer resources to do good at home. When we focus on destroying evil, it sucks the life out of what is good. Now, this does not mean that we should just accept sin and evil because God will sort it all out in the end. There's a difference between resisting evil and trying to wipe it out or kill it. The job of the prophets in the Old Testament was to point out people's sin and condemn those who refused to repent. And Jesus himself condemned hypocrisy, corruption, and evil, especially among the religious leaders. And so for us, if we see a child being abused, we have the responsibility to speak up and report it. If we know someone is lying and hurting someone, we can call them on it. If we know a business is exploiting or not paying its workers, we can try to do something about it. But we can't just kill people who are bad or obliterate everything that's evil. As long as we live in this world, sin and evil will be part of it. It's not our job to root it out. In fact, we can't. And if we try, we will most certainly make things worse. According to the parable, there will be a harvest. In the end, all the plants, that is, all the people, will be gathered and separated according to what they have produced during their lives on earth. But God will do the sorting, not us. Our job is to take root where we have been planted and do our best to grow and bear fruit while we can. Now, the problem with darnel, or that weed, is that it's toxic and useless. So in the parable, the weeds are people who are toxic, those who poison the atmosphere wherever they go. They're like plants that soak up water and nutrients, who take but don't contribute anything helpful or positive in return, and in fact may make things worse. But our job is to bear good grain good fruit and be useful to God's reign in the world. The idea is to focus on what we're for rather than what we're against. We can care for the sick and the helpless and comfort those who mourn. We can be good stewards of the environment. We can protect and care for the poor, not just by offering aid, but by working for equal opportunities and fair wages. We can welcome those who are rejected by others and work for understanding and healing. We can be a light in a world of darkness. We can be salt where the earth and the world seems bland and ordinary. We can strengthen what is good. There's one more point I want to make, and it's this. You can't really divide the world into two kinds of people. Human beings are much more complicated than that. And all of us have a mixture of good and bad in our very own nature. All of us have some good in us because we are made in God's image. Still, sometimes even the best of us are toxic. But that does not mean that we're lost. I like to think of the whole field in the parable as representing one person's life. And if we're honest with ourselves, our lives are always a mixture of weeds and wheat, good and bad. And in the end, God sorts it all out. And we can have faith that our God is a God of forgiveness and grace. Even in times when we feel our lives are more like weeds than wheat, we can still come to church, hear God's message of forgiveness and the call to start over. For the farmer said, "Let both of them grow together until the harvest." It's not over till it's over. There's still time to grow and produce what is good. Leah read from Psalm 139 this morning. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The psalmist knew that there may be some hurtfulness and wickedness in him, but he opened his life and himself to God, trusting in God's forgiveness and asking for direction and guidance. May we also open our lives to God, for God does know our inmost thoughts. And yes, there is some wickedness within and among us, and we're not going to get rid of all of it in this life. Still, God offers forgiveness, and if we put ourselves into God's hands, God will guide and strengthen us in ways that lead into life. In Jesus' name, amen.